You're listening to The Bulletin with UBS, first broadcast on the 30th of August 2015 on Monocle 24. Hello and welcome to The Bulletin with UBS on Monocle 24. Each week we'll be hearing from the sharpest minds and freshest thinkers in the world of finance, taking you beyond the numbers and the hype and getting to the heart of the big issues of the day. This week we're looking at the future of interest rates and what role the Federal Reserve plays in that process. With the Fed's annual policy summit in Jackson Hole, Wyoming, concluding yesterday, we look at how the current market turmoil is having an impact on its decision-making. We'll also discuss whether the US Central Bank might raise short-term interest rates, and if so, what impact it will have on the economy and on financial portfolios. Kiran Ganesh, cross-asset strategist at UBS Wealth Management in Zurich, begins by explaining what the current market instability means for the Fed.
I guess the Fed is in a bit of a difficult situation because even though they claim to look at unemployment and inflation, of course they really do care also about financial stability and how the equity markets and bond markets are responding. So the recent volatility is likely to make the Fed a bit more cautious about when they hike rates. But what's making it extra difficult is that the recent US economic data has actually been pretty strong. If we can see the durable goods orders, we can see jobs growth, we can see GDP. All of this is very much consistent with the rate hike. So the Fed is in a difficult position because on the one hand, it wants to delay, but on the other hand, all the data is telling it to hike.
Pim Fox is a financial journalist and an anchor for Bloomberg TV and radio. He shares Kieran's view that the Fed finds itself in a tricky situation.
Well, it places a lot of pressure on the Fed because, all things being equal, the Federal Reserve has previously signaled that because of the moderate strength of the U.S. economy and the benign unemployment picture at around 5.3% unemployment in the United States, that they perhaps would raise interest rates, the Fed funds rate, which has not been raised since 2006, by the way. They were thinking that maybe they would raise their Fed funds, a target rate, a quarter of a percentage point. That would be 0.25 or 25 basis points. And they would do this at their September meeting. However, because of the huge stock market sell-off in China and around the world, and because of the big pressure that has been put on emerging market currencies like the Malaysian ringgit and the Brazilian real and the South African rand, and the list goes on, it includes Australia, all these countries that depend on big export markets to China for their growth, they are showing signs of stagnation. What happens then is the value of their currency decreases, and one of the things that always looms over everything is the cost of oil, because if your currency is devaluing in dollar terms, you're not getting the benefit of lower oil prices at around $40 a barrel. So the Federal Reserve, while it is domestically focused and it has that dual mandate of inflation stability, which is a 2% target, plus the mandate for low unemployment or full employment, those criteria may be met, yet the world is, as an investment perspective, is struggling.
Simon Smiles is UBS Chief Investment Officer for Ultra High Net Worth. He explains this dual mandate.
Well, the stress we've seen in emerging markets, triggered by the devaluation of the Chinese yuan by the PBOC, in of itself is unlikely to impact the decision by the Fed. I mean, at the end of the day, the Fed has a dual mandate and it's linked to the domestic US economy, prices and full employment. However, as this pressure has escalated over the last 2 weeks, the impacts have started to spread to financial markets in the United States. In particular, in the more recent history, the US equity market has exhibited extraordinary volatility. If there is a sense from the Fed that that volatility is starting to spill over into an impact on the real economy via sentiment or otherwise, it could well have an influence on the Fed's decision about rate hikes, pushing back the potential September rate hike that had been anticipated.
Paul Donovan is global economist at UBS.
Well, to be perfectly honest, financial markets don't matter that much to the US economy, and the Federal Reserve's main focus is the economy. So unless we start to see the real economy, Main Street, be impacted by what's happening in Wall Street, I don't think that the Fed is going to be too concerned. If markets stabilize over the course of the next couple of weeks, before the Fed actually gets to meet on the 17th of September, I think the options for policy tightening are still open to the Federal Reserve.
We have a good sense of how market turmoil impacts on Fed decision-making, but why do central banks play with interest rates at all? Kiran Ganesh.
Central banks are always trying to balance savings and investment in an economy. So at certain times, you want to encourage people to spend and invest, typically as you're starting to come out of a recession. And at other times, you want to get people to rein back their spending. And that tends to be a bit late into an economic expansion. Perhaps inflation's increasing. Perhaps there's a lot of speculative activity. House prices are rising. And then maybe you want to curb spending. So at this point, we've had rates very low for a long time in the US as they've tried to stimulate spending. And now, as we're seeing signs that the economic recovery is more sustainable, the Fed might be in a position to try and get people to rein back spending a little bit to try and make sure that we don't get any excesses building up in the system.
Paul Donovan explains how the central bank now has a variety of policy tools at its disposal.
What's really interesting now is that it's not just interest rates that are in the arsenal of weapons that central banks can deploy. In the last 20 years, interest rates have been the main focus for central banks, but now we actually have three policy weapons available. We have interest rates, monetary policy. We also, however, have quantitative policy, the money printing operations, and then we have regulatory policy, the control central banks exert over the financial system. So one of the interesting things about this policy cycle from central banks is not just are central banks going to raise interest rates, but how are they going to raise interest rates in the context of other policy options?
Maury Harris is UBS Managing Director and Chief US Economist.
I think the important question right now is why do they need to go on a path to normalizing rates again in the United States? And I think the answer there is that you need to have some ammunition to fight the next recession. And if you never raise short-term rates when the U.S. economy is doing well as it has been doing, then when it comes time to fight a recession, they no longer have the rate tool because they never raised them when they had the opportunity to raise them.
Given the recent policy symposium in Jackson Hole, what's the mood like? And what is the current status of Fed decision-making regarding an interest rate hike? Kiran Ganesh explains.
The Fed has been trying to prepare the markets for an interest rate hike through this year. At Jackson Hole, we'll get a few speeches which look at some of the fundamentals behind the Fed's thinking as they head into these interest rate hike periods. So we'll get some thoughts on the unemployment situation, some thoughts in terms of how that is translating into wage growth, some thoughts in terms of inflation at Jackson Hole. But as we said, the key drivers at the moment is really the financial market volatility and the economic data as it comes in.
But how much might the Fed move rates? And when might it actually occur? Paul Donovan.
At the moment, there is, I think, a consensus at the Fed that interest rates do need to go up at some point in the not-too-distant future. The questions that need to be answered in the near term are, first, are they going to raise in September or not? Secondly, what sort of signal are they going to give about the pace of tightening thereafter? And that could actually be the more important point than whether or not they raise in September. Are they going to raise with a regular rhythm, typically raise one meeting, then pause, then raise, then pause, then raise, then pause? Or are they going to be far more data dependent? If you're data dependent, that's going to be more volatile for markets because, of course, economic data is volatile. But if the Fed sort of establishes a regular rhythm, that potentially is less volatile for markets.
Maury Harris echoes this stress on economic data.
The Fed will be looking for signals that the economy is still holding up despite the recent correction in stock prices. What will be very critical for the Fed is upcoming data on consumer prices. And the Fed would like to see core inflation, ex-food and energy, pick up, and we think it probably will.
Simon Smiles thinks it's important to pay attention to the manner in which a potential interest rate hike is announced.
We expect those interest rate moves to be couched with very soft, dovish language. But interest rates will only continue to go up if the economic data continues to improve and warrants this. And given we are coming from a zero rate environment to a very, very, very low positive rate environment, we think that financial markets will be able to weather this, as will the US economy.
If the Fed announces a raise in interest rates, what might be its impact on the economy? Simon Smiles, UBS Chief Investment Officer for Ultra High Net Worth, lays out the risks.
What the Fed risks is getting behind the curve and inflationary pressure starting to build, and then having to increase interest rates more quickly than previously anticipated. That obviously would be a negative outcome for both the US economy as well as the US financial markets and the wider global financial system.
Bloomberg's Pim Fox predicts a few potential scenarios.
Well, I mean, you're going to find people that say, oh, you know, a quarter point increase in interest rates will be bad for the housing market. You know, you can do that on one hand, and on the other hand, an increase in the mortgage rate might force people who are on the fence to get off the fence, literally, and buy a house, meaning that they see the future cost of money going up. That has some validity, that it can cause purchases to increase. Conversely, you have a situation in which treasuries, U.S. government bonds, are yielding more than similar bonds in Germany, for example, or even, let's say, yielding more than bonds in Spain. So you have a very upside-down bond market. I mean, the yield in the United States is like 2.1%. This is for the 10-year government bond. But you know, you want to go, let's say, to Germany? Well, good luck. You'll get 0.6%. For your money. At the moment, not a lot of this makes any sense. Of course, you've got the issue related to the European Central Bank, which is, you know, going in and buying huge amounts of debt, of bonds in Europe. So there's always a bid underneath that. There's always someone willing to buy. But, you know, a global stock market route could have an effect not only on the economy, but on what the Federal Reserve does.
Still to come on the Bulletin with UBS, we'll look at the potential impact of an interest rate hike on financial portfolios, and then explore how financial market volatility in Asia comes into play. We've looked at how a potential interest rate rise might impact on the US economy more broadly, but how about on financial portfolios in particular? Here's Paul Donovan.
Well, the context here is going to be very important, and this is where the other policy options come in particular quantitative policy. If the Fed signals that it's not going to start selling the treasury bonds that it bought in its quantitative policy operations, but it is going to raise interest rates, that would tend to imply that bond markets will not sell off very much. There'll be a limited impact, at least in terms of longer-term government bonds. If, however, the Fed signals that it's going to put more emphasis on reducing its treasury holdings, that would have a more profound impact. I don't think markets are fully prepared for something like that.
Kiran Ganesh, meanwhile, explains the impact on different parts of people's financial portfolios, depending on what action the Fed takes.
We continue to recommend to our clients that they keep a diversified approach. If the Fed, you know, keeps rates very low for a long period of time, you know, that should be generally positive for equities and bonds, you know, in particular in the sort of shorter term maturities. You know, longer term maturities might start to sell off if we start to have worries about longer term inflation. You know, I said equally, as if the Fed really starts to hike rates more aggressively, then we could see some issues within sectors. So we could see, for example, the financial sector starting to do better than something like the utility sector. Financials tend to benefit from higher rates, utilities tend to underperform. So there could be a number of impacts on different parts of people's portfolios depending on what the Fed does. And obviously, whilst there's uncertainty around both the economic data and how the Fed will react to it, so we continue to recommend to clients that they keep a diversified approach, you know, with some portion of equities and bonds in their portfolios and also an allocation towards alternatives.
Well, that's almost all we have time for on the Bulletin with UBS. But before we end, let's look to the turbulence in the Chinese market and how it might affect the Fed's interest rate decision. Here's Simon Smiles.
You go back 2 weeks ago, and the key risk people saw in markets was the potential turmoil around an interest rate hike finally coming from the Fed after almost 10 years. Now, today, the key concern is the events in China. Perversely, though, the uncertainty over China and the market turmoil we've seen today actually
mean that it's more likely that interest rate hikes in the US will be delayed. So the biggest fear people had 2-3 weeks ago has actually been alleviated by the current concerns over China, which is likely on a medium-term basis to have actually less of an impact on financial markets.
And finally, Paul Donovan gives us his final take on the situation.
The impact of China on the United States is relatively limited, to be perfectly honest. A lot of people have been concerned that China's turmoil may create weaker inflation pressures in the United States. This is very, very unlikely. Product made in China accounts for maybe 1.5-1.6% of the basket of goods that goes to make up US inflation. This is just a rounding error, frankly. And of course, a lot of the issues in China are simply around the Chinese equity market, which bubbled up 150% or so over the last year. I mean, this really is a correction from a bubble rather than necessarily being symptomatic of severe distress in the Chinese economy. As such, I don't see this as having a huge impact. However, the Federal Reserve is not going to want to exaggerate financial market volatility. So if there is ongoing financial market volatility in Asia and elsewhere as a result of events in China, that may give the Fed reason to pause or to offer some conciliation to markets. But if markets have stabilized, albeit at a lower level, and if the economic data continues to be as firm as it is in the United States, I don't think the Fed would have any problem in focusing on the real economy. That's what the Fed's job is, after all. The Fed is staffed by economists, not by market traders, something we can all be very grateful for.
That was Paul Donovan bringing us to the end of this 47th edition of the Bulletin with UBS, setting the agenda in the fast-moving world of finance every week here on Monocle 24. Listen again and find out more at monocle.com or catch up via iTunes or SoundCloud. The Bulletin with UBS on Monocle 24.